Board Game Bros. Hello, listeners.
Hey, everybody.
It's another episode of the Board Game Brothers podcast. I'm Jeffrey Craig.
And I'm Matthew Craig.
We're brothers in real life.
And game designers in real life.
And this is our podcast where we talk about board games. And we are doing a month full of bluffing and deduction, social deduction games. And this is our third game that we're talking about this month. And Matthew, tell them what game we are talking about today.
We are talking about Where Words, designed by Ted Alsbach and published in 2017 by Bezier Games.
All right, very cool. So, to give a short description about Werewords, in Werewords, one player is given the role of mayor, and then every player is given a secret role of either villager, werewolf, or seer. An app then gives the start of the game instructions, in which everyone closes their eyes, the mayor chooses a secret word, the seer gets to see the word, and the werewolves get to see the word and each other. After that, everyone opens their eyes, and a timed game of 20 questions begins. The villagers want to guess the secret word. The seer wants to help the villagers with leading questions, but without making it obvious that they know the word. And the werewolves want to throw the villagers off with misleading questions. If the word is guessed in the time limit, the werewolves lose unless they correctly identify the seer. If the word is not guessed, everyone must vote for who they think the werewolves are, and the villagers win if a werewolf receives majority of the votes. So that's just a short description of Werewords. There's a little bit more to it, so we're going to go into the strategy and deeper gameplay discussion portion now, and we'll talk about a little bit of the more intricate parts of how to play the game.
Right.
But the gist of it is that there's villagers, there's werewolves, there's a seer, and there's a mayor. And the mayor knows the word, and they're providing the answers to the game of 20 questions in the form of tokens. They have a number of tokens that say yes or no on them. They have a couple tokens that say maybe on them. And then they also have a close and a correct token that they give out when their team is getting close to guessing the word. So anybody can ask the mayor a question. They can ask any question as long as it's a yes or no question, and the mayor has to answer it. So we talked about the secret roles. There's a couple extra secret roles in the game. Most notably, there's the beholder, who does not know the secret word, but they do know the identity of the seer. So they can sort of play off of the direction that the seer is trying to lead the group in.
Yeah, they know who to trust.
Yeah, they know who to trust. They also, they know who knows the word.
Yeah.
And they can try and find a little bit of a deeper meaning from their questions rather than just thinking that their questions are just random guesses.
Yeah.
To get to the identity of the word. They can also, by knowing the identity of the seer, make themselves to look like the seer by sort of playing off of those, those correct questions that lead the villagers down the right path. Right. And then there's also the equivalent for the werewolves, which I think is the thrall in the base werewolf game, something like that. Essentially, they just know who the werewolves are, and they can play off of their misleading questions in a similar manner to make themselves look like a werewolf. So right. Let's get into strategy, and let's start by just talking about the win conditions, because I think the win conditions can be one of the more confusing parts about this game.
Yeah. So I guess let's make like a flow chart sort of description of them.
Sure.
So if the word gets guessed correctly,
mm-hmm.
then the werewolves reveal themselves and have to guess who the seer is.
Right.
If the seer dies, the werewolves win, the seer dying being by them correctly guessing them. Otherwise, the villagers win, and the seer right. and the beholder and all that.
Each werewolf gets a guess, and they can guess for different people. And as long as one of those guesses is the correct seer, then the werewolves win.
Right.
Now, this is the easiest way for the villagers and the seer to win, because identifying somebody's identity while playing a game of 20 questions is a little difficult because it's kind of like you're multitasking in this game. For that kind of thing, you're not only listening to the questions and answers so that you can reach the word. I guess you don't have to worry too much about it as a werewolf because you know the word, but you're doing that, but you're also seeing like who is asking obvious questions or questions that kind of open up unexplained areas where the villagers can get to the word faster, if you know what I'm saying. So it's difficult to have to track that kind of thing. And it's difficult just to remember who asked what at the end of the game when the word has been guessed. The only thing you can really remember well is who guessed the correct answer. And you'll know just because they'll have the correct token in front of them, whoever guessed the word correctly. But then after that, it's kind of hard to remember which question was asked by who.
And even then, like, you can't really look at the number of correct answers that they got, the number of, like, yes tokens, because the seer could easily just ask questions that are false by nature to steer people away from certain paths.
Yeah, really, the seer is the one who asks the key questions. Like getting into the same, like, family or genus, to use, like, biology terms of the word.
Okay, so, and then if the time runs out or the number of tokens runs out, then every villager has to guess who the werewolf is. And if the werewolves are successfully identified, does it have to be just one?
It's not necessarily every villager gets to guess. It's everyone at the table gets to guess who they think the werewolves are, including the werewolves.
Yeah, because if the you werewolves revealed all the villagers, the werewolves would be known.
So the werewolves just have to one of the werewolves has to receive a majority or a tied majority of the votes.
And if one of the werewolves is correctly identified, then the villagers win.
Same way that it's hard to discern who the seer was at the end of the game because you can't remember who asked what very easily, then it's also hard to discern who the werewolves are at the end of the game because it's hard to discern who asked what. In the same manner.
Big footnote to this is that the mayor can be a werewolf.
Yes, the mayor can be any of the secret roles. The mayor can be the seer, they can be a villager, and yes, they can be the werewolf. So let's talk about strategy. Should we start? How about we start with just general 20 questions strategy?
I was going to say, for the villagers, it's basically just general 20 questions. And also we're saying 20 questions because that's like the family of gameplay, but it's more than 20 answers that you can get, I believe.
I think it's
actually looks like it is 36 yes or no questions, but then also 10 tokens for maybe, so like 50 questions. It's a game of 50 questions.
Okay, 50 questions.
50 questions, yeah. So I have a few basic notes for this. First of which is ask wide scope questions first. Like, is it real or fictional? Is it living? Is it a person, a place, a thing, etc.? Some other good ones are like size, or if you can find it in a house, if you see it on a daily basis, stuff like that.
And then you just narrow the scope. I frequently go to material once I find out that it's a thing. And then finding it in a house is really good because you can then ask what room it's in if it comes from a house. If it's not, then then size, you always have the classic bread box comparison question.
Apparently people don't usually do that, but
is that right?
I don't know. So we always like to ask, is it bigger than a bread box? And that's kind of a weird question. I think this is just
something we got from our parents, I guess.
That's what it seems like.
But it works.
Is it bigger than a loaf of bread?
You can always just ask, is it bigger than X or smaller than X?
It's also worth noting that saying household or like, is it in a house? You know, it has to be smaller than a house. I also, one thing is that if it seems like the scope is narrowed enough that people are asking specific things, You might want to try and take a step back and ask a wider scope question just to narrow it down further. So the way I gave an example, like, if everyone's guessing different types of sweets or desserts, you know, people are saying, like, cookies, ice cream, whatever. If you just say, is it commonly made with chocolate, then that narrows out, you know, either narrows in or out, like, cookies and ice cream and stuff that has chocolate in it. While using just one question. Right. So, like, even if you think you have the category and you're just trying to race to that word, you know, take a step back and try to make sure you actually have a good size category. You know, because you don't want to use up all your questions in that final sprint.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about strategy if you are the seer.
Okay.
So the goal is to
have notes.
So what did you say?
This is the one role I don't have notes for.
Oh, okay. So for the seer, the gist of it is just to ask leading questions. But you want to ask the broadest questions that you can, because if you ask anything too specific, then it's too obvious that you're the seer. So the idea is just to get people in the neighborhood faster than if they were to jump around from topic to topic until they found, you know, the category of thing that they're trying to guess. You just kind of do that a couple of times and set people along the path. After that, you can just kind of join in with the rest of the villagers in their guessing attempts. You can throw out some wrong guesses, some narrow guesses, some maybes. It's important as you're throwing out these guesses not to get frustrated with the mayor as the seer, because that is very telling, and that is something that can happen if you're asking these leading questions but you're not getting the responses from the mayor that you would hope for to help lead the villagers down the right path.
Yeah. If anything, if you're getting frustrated, bottle it up, and then if you don't guess the word correctly, then the mayor might be the villager.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have proof. You can be like, I'm the seer, and he wasn't giving good questions, or they weren't giving good questions, or getting good answers. Yeah.
Now, as the seer, you are allowed to guess the word, and every now and then, it's perfectly fine to do so. Especially when it's not down to the wire. I think when it comes down to the wire, if the seer guesses the word that's a little too obvious, you would rather just go to time and pick a werewolf, because if you guess the word, the werewolves are just going to say, like, they knew the word at the very end. They were kind of desperate to get it out, so they're probably the seer. So yeah. Guess the word if the clock hasn't run down too far yet. If you still got, like, a minute left on the clock, then go for it.
Or you still have, like, 12 tokens, 15 tokens.
Yeah, yeah. And especially if people are in that phase where they're just actually guessing specific words, and they're not trying to narrow things down any further.
Yeah. And this kind of goes into, like, the reading the table aspects we've been talking about this month. For some reason, people have this assumption that the seer can't answer the thing, but that's not a rule, like we just said. So, like, sometimes if you notice that other seers are never answering the word, you can just do that if you're the seer to throw people off.
But also, to throw people off, definitely ask some wrong questions.
Yeah, that too.
Because at the end of the game, when either the word has or hasn't been guessed, you can see everyone's yes or no tokens. They're given to the players who ask the questions, and left face up in front of them for everyone to see. So if the werewolves have to guess who the seer is, they can just look and see who has the most yeses. Who has the most consistent yeses, and they can just go for them as with one of their guesses.
Yeah.
Okay. So shall we talk about the werewolf strategy?
All right. Sure. Werewolves are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So since the werewolf knows the secret question or the secret word, but they want to get people to not guess it, I think it's better for the werewolf to ask, like, technically true questions that might give weird answers to try to, like, get the mayor to give an answer that leads people down the wrong path.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So can you give an example of what that might be?
I'm trying to think, honestly. It's hard to say, though.
Maybe, let's see. So I remember one of the words that we had a lot of trouble with when we played the game was witch. I remember it being very difficult to guess the word witch in a game of werewords. And I think, let's see. So we had fictional person that could fly, I think was where we were at. And it took us forever because I think the question was, can they fly? And the answer was yes, because they could fly on a broom. But that's sort of one of those technically true answers where if you're just playing and you don't know where the word is and you hear that a person can fly, you think that they have wings. I think we immediately started to go for like angels. And then when that showed up nothing, we went to superheroes. And then that obviously also came up blank. And we ended up running out of time after that because we got to that specific part where we were guessing names over and over and over again, fictional characters that could fly.
Yeah.
So that's an example. I guess you kind of think of like an aspect of the thing and then ask a question that confirms it, but that throws people off.
Right. Or another one that I just thought of might be mm-hmm. like, so say the word is cookies, using my example mm-hmm. from before. If people knew it was a sweet and you asked, like, can you buy it at a gas station? Or maybe this is more of an Americentric question, example, whatever. But, you know, you can find cookies in, like, bags at gas stations, like pre-made, like, you know, snack cookies. But people probably wouldn't think about that if it was answered yes. People would think, like, oh, candy bars or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a technically true answer is better than a false answer, it seems like.
Right. Now, another strategy as a werewolf you have is you can just run out the tokens by just asking rapid fire a lot of questions. You obviously don't want to ask too many questions too quickly to make it obvious that that's what you're trying to do is soak up all the tokens. But for example, if the object is a thing and you're trying to determine what material it's made out of, since you know what it is and you know what materials it's made out of, you can just start guessing all of the wrong materials.
Yeah.
Not too quickly, but, you know, slowly and methodically take out all the other options and just run out like five or six of the tokens.
Yeah. Though I think this goes back to a sort of rule of thumb for social deduction, which is remember your own habits and do those habits. Mm-hmm. So like when we play werewords, I always guess a ton of questions near the start to try to narrow it down really quickly. Mm-hmm. So even if I was the werewolf, I would still do that. You know, I would still just guess a ton of questions because that's what I always do.
Right.
Yeah.
I would also say as a werewolf, it's better to ask yes or no questions because the token limit only ends when the yes or no's are out. The maybes are optional use.
Yeah.
So if you run out of maybes, you still keep playing. And if you're down to only maybes, you don't keep playing. You stop the clock, right. And the game's over. So ask questions that either have a yes or no answer. Yes, if they're misleading, like we said before. No, if you are just running out tokens and asking deliberately wrong questions.
Yes. All right.
So should we talk about if you're the mayor?
Right. I have the mayor good and then the mayor werewolf as two separate categories.
Gotcha.
So good mayor, I think one important thing is that you want the players to guess the word. Your goal is not to describe the word accurately.
Yes.
Basically, this means like if you think that the answer you're going to give to a question will steer them down the wrong path, you don't have to give that answer. So like if it was witch. And somebody asked, are they, you know, like, is this a character that flies? I mean, I could say yes, I could say maybe. But if, you know, now that I know, like, people will think, oh, superheroes, maybe I would put no instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it would right. get us along our way.
Or you would say maybe. Yeah. Or if they ask, like, is this person from a movie? And there's definitely been witches in movies, especially like The Wizard of Oz. So you would consider, like, is this the type of group that would guess the witch from The Wizard of Oz, that would go down that kind of route? If yeah, then you can say, yeah, they've been in movies. But if no, then you, or if they wouldn't think of a witch primarily as like a witch from Wizard of Oz, they would think more of like a witch from folklore or fantasy, then you would want to say something like no or maybe.
Yeah.
Now, maybes can be the most confusing, so it's best to either say yes or no, given the option.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, is that, like I said, you want the people to guess the word.
Mm-hmm.
As for a werewolf mayor, this can be a tricky thing. Because if you give people wrong answers, then obviously people will know you're the werewolf, because if the time runs out or the tokens run out, then the word is shown to all the players before they vote.
Right. So if you gave deliberately wrong answers, they will know. They'll say like, and they won't have to think over who asked what, because they can just think like, oh, I know I asked this and you lied about it, so you're definitely the werewolf.
Yeah.
So as the werewolf mayor, you want to give misleading answers. So in the same situations that we described earlier, where you would think, would my team or would the table reach the conclusion based on this answer, or would this answer be misleading? If you're the werewolf mayor, you just give them the misleading answer. So if they're a witch, yes, they fly. Yes, they're from movies and television and comics.
Yeah. You want to have the benefit of the doubt for these too. Mm-hmm. You know, for a witch, if you said yes, they fly, you can definitely be like, oh, but the broom, that's like an essential part of the folklore of witches.
Right.
You know, so it is easy to take the blame away from you.
Now there's one, let's go now into the end game and talk about how you sort of will try to discern who did what at the end of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start by saying that the mayor can also be the seer.
Yeah.
So if it comes down to it, when the werewolves have to guess who the seer is at the end of the game, it's not a bad idea to include the mayor. If it's not obvious, to include the mayor as one of the choices. It's one of the votes that the werewolves get.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how to find out who a werewolf is.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of touched on that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the werewolves are the ones who are acting different than they normally do, first of all. And we, you know, we touched on, like, the werewolves want the game to end by, like, the timer. So they're probably the ones who might slip up and ask a lot of questions late on.
Mm-hmm. The werewolves would probably have more wrong votes if they were careless in that whole running out the token strategy.
Yeah.
Also, the werewolves, I find, oftentimes have the least number of guesses, just because it's pretty difficult to come up with misleading questions in this game. It's very easy to come up with leading questions and correct questions,
right.
But the misleading one is a tricky one.
Right, yeah.
So, werewolves will tend to ask fewer questions.
I think in general in this game, instead of, like, you should try to note down maybe like one thing or two things that happened during the actual round of guessing that like might signal somebody to be a wolf or a seer or whatever. You know, so like if a werewolf asks a question that's really weird, maybe just note down like they might be a werewolf, and then, you know, try to keep that in your mind when the game ends.
Mm-hmm. So that you're not... track their actions through the rest of the game.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even just having one element of proof is better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, one thing instead of having to remember it all at the very end.
Likewise, if you're the werewolf, you know the word and you are tracking kind of the group's understanding of what that word might be. You can kind of easily spot out what question kind of turns the tides in favor of the villagers. What question starts to get this word into the same category or into the right category. And so just remember who asked that question and track them a little bit. Yep. Sometimes if they actually are the seer, they won't really ask any other questions after that. They'll just kind of, they set the villagers on the right path and they stay quiet.
Yeah.
So yeah, just track that sort of thing.
Okay. I have one more bit of gameplay advice. It's not really strategy, but just advice to make a good gameplay session.
Okay.
Before we move on to design, which is when, so this game does the whole nighttime thing of, you know, everybody close your eyes, werewolves wake up, go close mm-hmm. your eyes, all that.
Mm-hmm.
When this is going on, nobody should be touching the table.
Okay.
This is just because, like, if this, you know, some people might not pick up on this anyways, but like, say if your elbows are on the table and you open your eyes, then you're going to be shifting your arms around probably to do something.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like the werewolves and the seer and all them, they have to like tap the screen to say like, got it. Right.
Yes. Or is there
yeah. So yeah, you don't want to make that like movement and change of pressure or whatever on the table, just because that might give you away to some people. It's a very small thing, but I just, to be safe, you know.
I've seen some groups just make noise, or like everybody just kind of like drums on the table or hums or something.
Yeah.
To drown out any sound or movement that other people are making. Although in this game, it's a little harder to do that just because the game volume is determined by the phone and not by like any speaker who can yell over the commotion.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, just try to be quiet and still and don't touch the table or other players when the game is starting up.
Yep.
Just to give everyone a fair shot.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all that I have to say about strategy. So then how about we talk about the design of the game?
Yes.
All right. So first of all, the announcer's great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't often, I mean, voice acting is almost never a part of this part of the discussion, because not every game uses apps, and even if they do, they don't really use voice actors. So I love the voice actor in this game, or I think there's multiple because you can
switch them out.
I could even pull up an example on my phone.
I was gonna say we used to use one that was like sort of a stereotypical like British accent almost.
Mm-hmm.
But now we use one that's like a cowboy sound almost. Everyone,
close your eyes. Mayor, yeah. Wake up and tap your secret role.
He's great.
Yes, that was a sample used by educational purposes, so we can put that on here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Also, the fact that you can change it and the background music helps you set the tone. Mm-hmm. So if you want a slightly more serious game, you can try to find something that fits that. But if you want something really silly, you can just use that, which is good for a party game. You know, they kind of let you customize the tone of the game that way.
Yeah, loads of tone customization options is really great with this.
Yeah.
I think the tokens serve like multiple great purposes. They're a pretty elegant design component to this game. Yeah, just because they track the game of 20 questions. When the tokens run out, then the game is over, which is a very easy timer built into the component. And then also they serve as just a reminder of who had however many correct or incorrect answers and guesses.
Right. They're also a resource, which is my favorite part. It's a resource shared by everybody. That everybody can use in different ways.
Werewords is a Euro game.
Yeah, it adds to the options that like the werewolf has to, which, I mean, the game's like, it's really centered around this 20 question style gameplay. So giving the werewolves a mechanic that allows them to interact with that is really important. And yeah, having it a shared resource means that, you know, it helps the werewolves blend in while using that mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The illustrations are kind of cartoony, but I think they're improved in the second version of Werewolf or Ultimate Werewords.
Werewords Deluxe.
Werewords Deluxe, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say about the tokens again. Okay. It limits the amount of yes or no questions, which helps prevent brute forcing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, say you're in that final sprint where everybody is trying to guess the correct answer. Like, having a limited number of yes or no questions, it makes it so that you don't want to just get to that point and yell out anything you can think of. It right. forces you to think about what the question actually, or the word actually is, or what questions you can use to get closer. And the fact that, you know, ending the game by running out of questions is good for the werewolves means that it's in everybody's best interest to take that time a little bit and figure out what they can use to efficiently use the questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it forces everybody to kind of slow down a bit, which I think is good for this type of game. Because it's important to note that the mayor has to answer questions they're asked. The mayor can't ignore a question.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people were just yelling out questions left and right, it would get to that point where, like, a dominant personality would just take the game for themselves, like quarterbacking almost.
It almost adds like a tempo to the game.
Yeah.
That you kind of have to wait for the response from the mayor before you can ask a second question. So it kind of gives everybody just a chance to think about it.
That too, yeah.
Because, I mean, sometimes you can get in like two questions at the same time and the mayor will be able to just throw out two tokens at the same time to address both of those questions. But usually things happen one at a time and you wait. So that also helps to prevent the quarterbacking.
Yeah,
just this act of handing a token to somebody.
Right. And it's true that if somebody is quarterbacking and they're asking like three questions in a row, everybody mm-hmm. else has three times the time to think about their question then,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice.
It's also up to the mayor to decide which questions they answer in what order. So if they're asked multiple questions, you know, they can just wait on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Last address the other questions and then get back around to it.
Yeah. So we talked about the design so far without mentioning the app that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the app is one of the most important parts of this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we said, this is a werewolf style game with a day and night cycle at the start of the game. And most of these types of games require a narrator or a moderator of sorts to make sure everything's happening according to plan and without any rules concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, they want to make sure that the werewolf is the one who wakes up and claims to be the werewolf and does the werewolf thing, you know. But by having an app automate that process, it allows the mayor to be a part of the game. Which mm-hmm. we talked about, you know, all the complications that can come when the mayor is the seer or the werewolf. And so by allowing that to happen, it just adds to more, like, unique situations. It adds to the number of people the werewolf has to consider as being the seer and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It just adds a lot of interesting folds into the game, which for a deduction game or a social deduction game is pretty important, I think.
Right. I'm just pulling up some examples of words real quick, mm-hmm. just to see what the app gives you for different difficulties, because the app provides difficulty levels. So easy words, it only gives you two, but they're usually easy. The two I just got were Chicago and grape.
Okay.
For easy words.
Yeah.
Medium gives you the choice of three words. These three are question, rubber tree, and component. So they're a little bit more abstract,
yeah,
and they're a little more specific, yeah, a specific type of tree,
yeah,
or a specific type of or some kind of abstract idea like question. Now in the hard mode, it's given you four words. So there's Foster, West Covina, Ascertain, and Louse. So it's even more specific. Or more difficult words that people probably don't know as well.
Like, yeah.
Like ascertain. And yeah, as specific as some city, West Covina. And now I'm on ridiculous words. So let's see what I get here. I imagine it'll give me four or five words. See how many words I get to choose from. Five words. Okay, so the words are bandito, King Ghidorah, walking papers, Imagination and Adrastia, which is capitalized, so I assume it's a place.
More proper nouns.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, lots of proper nouns, way more specific things like walking papers, which is like now what's the word? It's like a slang or jargon. I think jargon is the word. Bandito, kind of like a word in another language almost.
Yeah.
So yes. And so just going over that, you see that how they manage the difficulty of words, but they also give you multiple choices, more choices, the harder the word gets, just so that you can sort of have some adjustment of the difficulty at the last minute. Like, I want a hard word, but I want it to be guessable by my group. And this is kind of a thing in other games where you're like given a card that you have to choose a word from, like in concept, where the specificity of the word determines its difficulty. But it, depending on the play group, it could be just flat out impossible. It's just that nobody actually knows the word.
Right.
So it's smart of them to give you multiple choices just so that you can choose a micro specific word in the harder categories, but at least a word that somebody in your group probably knows.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is that in games like this, where if you were to be able to just choose any word, it runs into the problem of the scope being too narrow just because of what you would immediately think of.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen this in other games where, like, after playing two rounds, maybe the group would tunnel in onto like a smaller category than they would think of for words. Mm-hmm. So like after the second or third round, people would only think about words that would be inside a house. And so having these limited selection of words every round helps keep that scope pretty wide, which reminds players of how wide the scope is, you know, mm-hmm. for their questions. It also does make every round harder in comparison by, you know, keeping the possibilities open. Because if the words were all things you could find in a house, you could skip the whole "can you find it in a house" question.
Right.
So it adds a little of complexity by forcing you to think outside the box.
Right. And man, when you hit your first abstract word in this game, it really like shakes up the whole question asking segment.
Right. I also want to mention that having an automated day and night cycle or whatever is pretty nice in terms of like preventing any major screw ups. Mm-hmm. Jumping back a week to Resistance, we had a game of Resistance where our dad was one of the spies, and he like immediately said after "spies open your eyes, spies close your eyes," because he was one of the spies. He saw the other spy, so he knew that the spies saw each other and knew he could end it early.
Right.
But having...
No, wait, he skipped the spies close your eyes. Oh, that's right.
He skipped it because
he said, "spies, spy, open your eyes." And then he said, "everyone open your eyes."
That's
because
right.
He knew that the spies had already closed their eyes.
That's right. Having an automated part just kind of helps remove those non-games where problems can occur.
Human errors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It replaces the human error with machines that are incapable of error.
And what this does, I mean, it makes the game run smoother, but it also makes it also limits the number of things that you can deduce from in this game. Right. And so what that does to this game, we talked about how in Resistance, they have a lot of these checkpoints where people have to give input, and all of that input is available for deduction. Great for a Sherlock Holmes type character who likes to find the meaning in small details. Werewords uses this app that takes away a lot of that stuff. And so like you can't choose the word, the game chooses the word for you, or it gives you a list of words that it chose for you. It runs the whole day night portion of the game for mm-hmm. you. What that means is that this is kind of like a social deduction game for somebody who doesn't want to do a lot of that social part.
Yeah.
Or anything. Like, they want to do some deduction, but they also just kind of want to play a game at the same time.
Yeah.
And so this game is definitely more game than deduction to it, like more like playing 20 questions than deduction.
It also does a good thing of properly framing what when the bluffing and deduction starts, because in Resistance, you know, you kind of you have the option to deduce while the person's calling out the day night part. But the game doesn't really say that, you know, this is where you start deducing, like in terms of the rules and the pacing of the game and the structure. It's meant to be that all the bluffing and deduction starts when you open your eyes. In werewords, by limiting the amount of mistakes that can happen and limiting the amount of information you can glean from the day-night part, it better keeps everybody in that same playing field of, you know, the main part of the game being how you deduce things.
Right. I mean, but it also just being this 20 questions format, it kind of distracts and focuses people on an aspect of the game that's or on the gameplay, which isn't the deduction part. It's the 20 questions part, you know,
right?
Usually a villager will be a little too wrapped up in the 20 questions portion to actually figure out who is asking bad questions, like a werewolf would. And the werewolf, I mean, the seer, they get a little wrapped up in their own heads about how to ask the right or wrong questions without giving themselves away. And that means that they're not so much focusing on what the opponent is doing.
Right.
On top of that, the game has a timer for the deduction portion. When after the word is guessed or is not guessed and time runs out, everyone only has a few seconds to determine or to debate and converse with the other players and pick who they think the werewolf or the seer is.
Yeah. You don't
it's a very short amount of time. So you don't even have all that much time to bluff.
Right. And you don't need somebody to make like a rallying speech in order to actually get the game moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game just moves it along. It's just like, okay, you get like, I don't know, it's like 10 seconds or something like that. For the werewolves to talk amongst themselves.
Right, yeah. It's almost like the gamey parts and the social parts are both at odds with each other and complementary. Because, like, I mean, like you said, the 20 questions, like, actually figuring out the word takes away a lot of your mental thinking space that you could be spending on figuring out the werewolf. But it's still in the villager's best interest to guess the word correctly, and still in the werewolf's best interest to not have it correct. So, like, it doesn't mean that the guessing the word is any less important than in a normal game of 20 questions.
Right.
By making the flowchart best for the villagers when they guess the word correctly, it keeps that as important as it needs to be.
You know, usually these kinds of games, they revolve around the majority of players who are trying to do the right thing in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just double checking through the app to see how many seconds, and I believe it is 15 seconds to debate at the end of the game who you think has whatever secret role. So, okay. Yeah, this game, it definitely cuts away parts of the social part. Of these kinds of games, to just give way to the game itself.
Yeah,
like the game within the game.
I want to bring up a point on this. This is one of the few social deduction games I've played where I want to be the person who's like at the front, the mayor, basically. Like,
yeah.
I mean, in Werewolf, you know, if you're the mayor, then you call out people waking up and going to sleep, but I don't even want to be a werewolf in this game. I want to be the person who gives the yes or no questions or yes or no answers. I think that's just pretty cool that like it has every role is desirable in some way.
Yeah. In this game, I don't feel any anxiety, whatever role I get, if I get werewolf or seer or anything.
Yeah.
In Resistance, I get a little bit of anxiety if I'm the spy. If in Spyfall, I get a good amount of anxiety that I'm the spy.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to being asked the first question.
Yeah,
I guess that's another thing. You're never confronted in this game.
Yeah.
Until the very end, there's 15 seconds of confrontation.
It's pretty non-confrontational, which is pretty good for certain, like, personalities.
Yeah. Again, Werewords is a Euro game.
Yeah.
There's indirect competition over resources.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if anything, having the 20 questions part be the most important part in the front of everybody's mind means that you feel less pressure from people trying to watch your every move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are kind of safer to do body things, you know, make facial movements, mm-hmm. If you're a werewolf in this game compared right. to Resistance or Werewolf or whatever. Because, all right. Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say about the design of the game?
No, but same I here. Think if you're wanting to make a game that uses an app as a companion, as like a central part of the game, Werewords mm-hmm. is a great thing to study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say that we mentioned briefly the deluxe version of Werewords.
Mm-hmm.
And what this adds is it adds another role. I think it's in place of the Beholder. I don't remember if the Beholder's in that game as well, but there's a junior seer. I don't remember what they're called. I think maybe a mystic or something. But essentially, if the mayor is the seer, then the junior seer gets to know the word, so that at least somebody amongst the villagers knows the word.
That's cool.
And is trying to help them. But if the mayor is not the seer, then they function just like the Beholder in that they know who the seer is.
Yeah.
Or something like that. No. They don't know who the seer is, but they know that the seer is amongst the people.
Yeah.
So they're told that, but they're not shown the word in that case. And then it also adds this really unique role called the Thing, which is a person that does not know the word, but they are the Thing, and they get to let somebody to either side of them know that they are the Thing tapping them on the shoulder. They don't open their eyes during the night portion of the game. They're just instructed to tap the shoulder of somebody beside them. So it's just kind of like they're given an alibi with one person.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a funny thing in this game. It doesn't make a huge difference at the end of the game. When it comes down to deciding who are werewolves or who the seer was. But I don't know. People just like to be the Thing for some reason whenever we play.
It's fun.
Like people will say, like, if people will declare when we play the game, like, if you're the Thing and you're one of my neighbors, you have to tap me. I don't want you to tap anybody else but me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, but it's funny.
I think it's in a lot of these games, at least for me, it's just like having these roles that can do something, even if that something is unclear. Mm-hmm. It's like a challenge, you know, like, hey, try to find something useful for me to do.
Sure.
Try to do me well. And I say, okay, I'll bite. But not like a werewolf would bite. Anyways.
So, yeah. I recommend getting Ultimate Werewolf if you do get a Werewolf. Or Werewords.
Werewords
Ultimate
Deluxe.
Werewords Deluxe, yes. If you do get one of these games. Just for those small extra little fun details.
Yes.
And then that will be the end of our episode on Werewords. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
If you'd like, you can follow us on social media at BG Bros Cast. You can go to our website, bgbcast.com, to find all our episodes tagged. So if you want to find an episode where we talked about a game that you're interested in hearing our thoughts on, you can find the tag there, find the episode, and listen to it. You can also find a link to our TeePublic store that is teepublic.com/user/bgbcast, where we sell our t-shirts with our cool logo on them, so you can pick that up there. And that does it for BG Bros plugs, so let's hear it from Matt plugs.
I write articles and blog posts on the Board Game Bros website under the Episodes and Articles tab. I talk a lot about video games as well as just other games and stuff in general, a lot about other game design and story writing and etc. Today I'll actually be uploading an article later today on Enter the Gungeon. And also I stream on twitch.tv/twack. That is twitch.tv/twak. If you give me a follow, you can see when I'll be live, but I usually go live around like 11 a.m. Central U.S. time to 2 p.m. Central U.S. time. I play a lot of roguelikes and roguelites. I play a lot of fighting games and competitive games. I play a lot of platformers. Recently, I've been playing through Cave Story, which is pretty cool. So yeah, if you stop by, you can see me, chat to me, etc. Find a link to a Discord server in there that me and Jeff are both on. And give us a mention there.
All right, that'll do it for Matt Plugs, and that'll do it for our episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.